Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime, on the internet, via your browser, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, that dial, you know, your thing with the knobs or the push buttons, you can preset 102.9 on the FM band. Here today virtually again, but this time with school committee candidate Dave Callahan. Dave, thank you for doing this.
Hey, thank you very much, Steve. Always a pleasure to chat.
Yeah, it's not a chalkboard chat this time. This is a candidate chat.
Just
Because
switching the roles up.
We've got this thing called the biennial election coming up November 4, 2025, and people are going to need to know. So, we've created this kind of standard set of questions so that, you know, your questions are slightly different from the council, slightly different from the planning board, etc. And hopefully the residents and voters like me will be able to say, oh, he said this, she said that, and make some choices and cast an informed vote. So.
No, absolutely. No, it's fantastic. And I know, you know, I've been here for a little while. You know, I got 4 years on the committee, but still, it's always fantastic. A great opportunity to kind of to chat with everybody. And it just so happens, actually, today is National Coffee Day. So I am bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but
you've
probably
had a
way
few
too
cups
much
of coffee,
caffeine.
huh?
A couple of free cups of coffee. It's been fantastic. Yeah, so I am ready to go.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start at the beginning like we normally do in terms of, you know, okay, if people don't know Dave, kind of what's your Franklin story? Tell us a little bit about your road or to Franklin or your life within Franklin and your involvement in the community here.
Yeah, so about 15 years ago, my wife and I were looking to buy a house, start a family, and found this incredible house here in Franklin. And kind of flash forward a decade and a half, and somehow my oldest daughter is now in high school, and my little guy is big, and I'm not. Still not quite adjusted to it, or you know, I don't know if I'll ever be ready for that. But she's over there; she's growing up, and then my little guy's in third grade and playing just about every sport and taking advantage of every field that we have around town.
Yeah, that's the wonder of being a dad. I know my daughters just went, how did they do that? Where did they go?
It
Time
happens
flies.
quick. It certainly does. And, you know, and now, and speaking with time flying, that you mentioned, I've now been serving on the Franklin School Committee for 4 years. You
Two
know, it was,
terms.
it's about like 5 years ago where, you know, it all kind of started where the town had to let go over 100 teachers, and they were standing up and down 140. And one of those teachers was my kid's favorite teacher. And that's really kind of what activated me. And I took a look and I saw the financial situation, not only that we were in at the time, but where we kind of where we had been, and also kind of like where we're going to, where the financial forecast just, it hasn't looked really much better in the last couple of years. And that's where I decided, you know what, that's it. This is, I'm going to be able to kind of go, and I'm going to toss my hat in the ring. And in 2021, the Franklin voters gave me the opportunity, and I've been trying to say thank you by keep working as hard as I can for the district ever since, and hopefully for another 2 years with this next election.
Good. Thank you for that. And as you're aware, civil discourse certainly is a key component of a democratic republic form of government. And the political party divide, well, it doesn't necessarily touch us all the time because this is a partisan election. Still, unfortunately, the divide is wider now than ever before. So as an individual and on the school committee in particular, what can you do to help either mitigate or kind of avoid that divide?
You know, and this, you know, for folks maybe who, you know, are aware, we kind of got like lists of questions ahead of time. And these are some of the questions that are being asked of every single candidate, if I'm not mistaken. And
Correct.
it is just the best question right now because it's just so important. And the way that I at least I've kind of addressed it is just by talking to as many people as I can. And getting to know everybody in town, because there's just so much that brings us together than what kind of pulls us apart. And I know, and sometimes it's just so easy to say, well, this person, you know, voted yes for the override, this person voted no for the override, and that's just kind of who they are. But the more that you talk to some folks and learn about their backgrounds, about where they came from, about their motivations, about what drives them for this or that. You just better understand them, and it helps to work together with everybody else. You know, there's I think that the actual quote is from Walt Whitman, but I read in a Stephen King book, the idea of, you know, we are all multitudes. And the more that you can kind of talk to your neighbor, the better you just understand where they're kind of coming from. And I hopefully, you know, especially like with these past couple of overrides, you know, I've been very vocal that the town of Franklin needed to pass these overrides. We have a structural deficit that only can kind of help be filled through increased local contributions. But I've also gotten to know a lot of folks that were on the other side of things, and I have a much better understanding about where they are, where they kind of came from. So that way, you know, I'm still very much in favor of increased local contributions. However, when there are other issues that we can kind of work together on, I think hopefully just by kind of work talking to one another, by building those connections, by realizing everyone's just, you know, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a taxpayer, someone who's kind of struggling to pay the grocery bills, could just find those middle grounds of where we all kind of have these commonalities and help work towards, and kind of just as we, because we all need to work together, you know. And I think the other thing too, what I've tried since I think the beginning of this year, maybe for it feels like forever, but I've been going in front of town council just about every meeting and kind of providing some updates from the school committee's perspective, because really kind of you know, recognize, you know, we have our audience and they have their audience. And unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of kind of cross-pollination between the two. And so I started kind of going on out to these meetings, because the more that their audience and those members and everybody else can kind of hear firsthand what goes on in the meetings. Because as you well know, as many folks who kind of tune into the school committees, we could run a little long in the tooth. Sometimes it's 3+ hour long meetings. So I get not everyone's able to go and to be there. But if I can kind of go and give maybe a 3-minute little highlight reel, now hopefully, you know, more folks out in the community also kind of have a better idea and a better understanding about what's happening at schools. You know, because the what's happening right now, kind of between the bells, is a heck of a lot different than the school that I went to just, you know, not that long ago. You know, certainly the school maybe that, you know, that you had gone to, and a whole bunch of other people, you know, there's been so much change in the schools. And I think the best way for us to kind of advocate for the schools and for the proper funding that we need is really kind of go on out there and talk to folks and kind of explain and say, hey, you know, this isn't the same school that you kind of grew up in. Here's all the different things that we have to do. Here's the things that the state is, through unfunded mandates, is requiring us to do. And this is why it may seem more expensive maybe than when you were going to school, because it's a different environment. And the only way that we're able to kind of get to that point is just by talking to one another, getting to know each other, and hopefully trying to help bridge that divide.
Yeah, and I think your participation in the council meeting, somebody else mentioned it, and I'm a little embarrassed to say I can't remember at the moment, but I'll give them credit for it once I figure out who it is. But and I understand clearly Tom's provided in his executive purview the opportunity to speak in that announcement section, but the suggestion actually was to have you and or somebody from the school district there as part of a regular item on the agenda to give, you know, a little bit more detail, say, on this topic or a little bit more on that topic. So respectfully, while you do give the overview, they could get kind of the mini deep dive in something to really help foster that cross-pollination and the rational discussion around, oh, this is happening, and this is why things are happening. It's needed. It's one idea. Maybe somebody has more and others, and that's okay. We need to figure out how we're in it, because to your point, we're all in it together, and we need to figure it out.
Absolutely. And you know, and I know that sometimes you know, I've kind of heard from where it's, you know, well, why are the questions kind of being asked this way, or how come they're kind of, you know, almost like turning the screws on sometimes on the schools. And oftentimes it's because, you know, like, because the school district, the superintendent kind of report directly to the school committee, oftentimes it's not until kind of like the budget season when things are really kind of, the ratcheting up, the temperatures rising, that sometimes we're kind of reporting out and kind of reporting directly to the school. So yeah, the love those ideas. I don't want to give, the superintendent, any more work than he already kind of has to do. But it's stuff like that. It's by all of us learning about just the overall kind of Franklin environment, talking to one another and willing to kind of work together. That's really going to help out as we move forward. And because for folks using this as a quick little plug who might not know, already kind of looking ahead for the financial forecast, we're looking at upwards of probably about like a $2.1 million deficit with the decrease in new growth that was reported out. So it's going to be yet another difficult budget season moving forward, and we definitely need to work together as we embark on that next journey.
Right, agreed. And thank you for that. So moving along, what experiences or background would help you specifically in this role on the school committee? Or what do you bring to the table? And another way of phrasing is, what do you bring to the table that would help you set you apart from others who are coming to the same school committee role?
I'll say, so I graduated, I got my master's in public administration, and for the past 15 years served in the public sector. And as I mentioned, I was 4 years right now on the school committee. My first term, the first 2 years, was the chair of the policy subcommittee, in which we did some, at that time, some really exciting stuff, including one of the biggest kind of achievement, I think, that kind of came out of that term was completely rewriting how the district responds to bullying and harassment kind of procedures all through the policy, because it's true, the pen is mightier than the sword, and we were able to make it really mighty with the policies that we wrote. And now in the last 2 years, just as serving as the chair of the Franklin School Committee, as we underwent the massive, really once in a generation reorganization, that's a lot of hands-on experience that I learned from through all of that, and hopefully, now is helping, continue to kind of guide some decisions as we move forward. So I think just between the education, kind of my professional life, and the last 4 years that I've been able to serve this community as a on the Franklin School Committee, it's going to help to kind of carry forward that experience into that next term.
Good. Thank you for that. And it's kind of a good segue as well, because with redistricting decision now behind us, what do you see as the next kind of key priority or multiple priorities within the district?
So, well, I will say, actually, just to start, obviously, while the boundary lines are drawn, the map is set, kids are going to all the right schools. When it comes to this, the redistricting and the reorganization, there's still plenty more work to be done in the next term. Obviously, now we have all of these systems that we're able to really kind of fine tune and enhance as we're moving forward. As I mentioned, at other meetings and other chalkboard chats, and that this reorganization has saved us over $3 million, and will continue to kind of save us, $3 million plus year over year. And by kind of by as we consolidated, but we also found numerous efficiencies. And I think that's going to be part of the goal in the next couple of years is, all right, this is the world that we're living in right now. Are there other ways in which we can, kind of enhance the overall school experience and do so at a very affordable rate? And I think that's something that we'll be looking forward to. And there's other ideas that we had, such as like we had the traffic plan. There was discussion about some long-term capital improvement projects that we can do that might help to alleviate the stress of traffic, especially like arrival and dismissal procedures. And that's something that as we kind of move into the next budget season and doing the capital improvement requests, that those on the school committee are going to have to really kind of take a look at and try to triage and say, all right, where any money that we're able to get from the capital budget, where can that best be spent given the kind of the new structure that we have? And so but then there's plenty more new stuff as well. And what I will say, when I As I mentioned, when I first kind of came on board to the schools, it was all about the finances for me. That this was at the time where 75% of other districts were investing more per pupil and their students than Franklin was. And I came on in 2021 with just the goal in mind of how do we kind of, change that number and help out the finances. And that was going to be the main focus. And within 3 months, we were struggling to keep the classroom doors open because of a national teacher shortage, long-term subs being in such high demand, and COVID kind of spiking again and keeping out a number of our staff. And we kind of had to figure that out. Couple of months after that, I got a call from the superintendent to say that she's accepted a job over in Barnstable. And now I'm going through the
Yes.
hiring process of a superintendent. Not long after, it was a school business administrator retiring and having a difficult time filling that job because someone in the business administrator role doesn't necessarily want to come to a town, a community like Franklin that has a lot of financial difficulties, both past and looking ahead in the future. But trying to go and solve that, and then kind of coming to the realization that we just have to rip the band-aid of this redistricting and do it, no half measures. And that occupied more than a little bit of my time for the
More
past
than a
few years. So,
little
all that to be said, I don't quite know. I've learned to accept that I don't know exactly what's going to be around that next bend. But I am very grateful for all that experience that I've had over these past 4 years to help kind of shape me to come to be able to tackle whatever does come around. What I would love, and I've mentioned this at a couple of meetings, I would love for these meetings to be super boring. And for like the hot button issue to be whether or not we use single use or reusable utensils over in the cafeterias. Like that's the dream that I have right here. And so but there's a lot of work still to be done before I'm able to get to that boring stage. But I'm excited for everything that might kind of come around the corner.
Indeed. Good. Thank you for that. And somewhat related, but a little bit more specifically around the budget, with the school district responsible for the largest portion of the town of Franklin's budget. I'm sure you've got a few ideas and maybe some more developing in terms of how to resolve that famous structural deficit.
I think this is kind of two fronts. The first is a lot of the work that we've already done with the reorganization to kind of help tighten the belt. Because again, that was right out of the gate, $3 million in savings. And I do think that there are potential as we kind of move forward to be able to find just some more efficiencies and in some more savings, not enough to solve the structural deficit, to be clear, but still to be able to kind of find some savings. We also, after the failed override, had to cut an additional $2 million from the budget, and so there's almost some austerity measures in place as well. Like that belt has been tightened. This is a very lean budget for maybe for anybody who's coming in, now for the first time, or maybe just kind of paying attention. I mean, the budget book itself, one, it's wonderful. It's right up on our website. It looks terrific. It reads wonderfully. But go through and you could take a look line by line and see exactly where we spend all of our money. And when you kind of go and you get to the end of 197 pages, whatever the case last was, you'll see there isn't a lot of fat left in the school budget. So now the next step is just to continue to advocate for more funding for the schools. And so I certainly kind of plan to continue to go in front of the town council and continue to kind of talk about all the updates that are happening at the schools, but also why the costs might kind of come in at where they are. And I'm going to continue to kind of get out there and keep talking to anybody that I can. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't drive home from the office without talking to somebody around town or in Franklin. And I'm just going to continue to keep doing that because people need to kind of be aware of the realities that we face, the structural deficit that we still find ourselves in, and also, the what will happen if we're going to have to make another million, another $2 million in cuts, because it doesn't look good for our kids. And what ends up happening, and just by nature of the way that the school system works, I mean, these are the any kind of cuts that were made, even if we're able to get something back in a couple of years, it takes so long to kind of go and rebuild. And as we talked about at the top of the hour, our kids, they grow up so quickly. By the time that we're able to rebuild any of the programs that were lost from that first override at the high school level, even if we are, my daughter's gone and graduated, as are so many other parents' kids, because these kids just grow up so quickly. And that's why it's just so important to be able to tackle these issues now, because it does, once you lose that program, it takes for so long to rebuild, if you ever do. So that's a roundabout way to say I'm going to keep talking, keep advocating for the schools, and keep trying to kind of bring a better understanding to the greater community about why we need to invest in our schools now, and we can't wait and can't continue to kind of kick the can down the road.
Yeah, at one point we haven't had the opportunity, or if we did, I kind of missed it. But one of the other key points I think to make in terms of the redistricting and the realigning, effectively, you did what in corporate world would say a zero-based budget. With so many schools moving and so many students and teachers, et cetera, from what I understood, you effectively started out with a new budget structure and then layered in the anticipation based upon the redistricting. So yeah, I think is there may be some fine-tuning within that, because there was some expectations and maybe some have met and some maybe didn't meet, et cetera. But on the one, so on the one hand, yeah, there may be some fine-tuning, but I don't necessarily think we're going to find, the silver bullet in there.
No, certainly that doesn't exist. The 3 million, that's the big number that if we could afford to put up in neon lights, we would, but we can't. That's really where a lot of the savings are there. We'll do the best that we can as we kind of move forward, but people just kind of need to be aware of everything that has gone on up until this point. The so many of the different kind of cuts and concessions that have been made in the restructuring to build this budget to where it's at, to where it is incredibly lean budget. And now we got to shift the conversation to say, well, what are we, is this where we're going to be accepting of? This is where we want to stand, or other ways in which we can kind of continue to kind of grow and try to build back some of those programs that were lost over the years.
Indeed. And then the final question, effectively, while we've discussed a few key topics, certainly your background experience, et cetera, is there something else that we haven't talked about that you'd like to address while we have the time and the opportunity to leave with the residents and voters?
Absolutely. And thanks for this opportunity here. What I will say, something I've been thinking about now for quite some time. So over at town council, we got 9 seats. And over at FinCom, we have 9 seats. And over at the school committee, we have how many seats?
Seven.
There is plenty of work to go around, that where we could happily kind of use two additional individuals to fill up those seats, and to make it so that town council has nine, that FinCom has nine, that school committee has nine, that when it comes to the joint budget sessions, where it's members of town council, FinCom, and school committee, we can kind of have equal representation as opposed to four, four, and three as it is right now. I feel, ever since I've kind of been getting involved and paying attention, everyone is always talking about the schools and talking about the school department and the school budget. The schools, whether or not you have kids in the school system, the schools impact everyone in Franklin, whether it's just because of property values that you have, or of some of the volunteer opportunities that the high schoolers and other kids kind of go on out into the community. This and the impact schools impact every single voter in Franklin. And I'd be willing to kind of bet dollars for donuts that just about every candidate that's running for town council is also going to be talking about the schools in some capacity as well, because it's 54% of the overall budget. It's there. So I think that the need to kind of have that equal representation, and to have a 9-member board for the school committee, is just absolutely essential, and would just be such a great benefit to the town of Franklin to have two extra incredibly talented, amazing individuals to kind of, serve alongside the other seven. And so I know that, my understanding, it's part of the Franklin Town Charter,
It would be a charter change, yes.
and so, which would be the responsibility of the town council. And so what I would say, for those maybe that are running for town council and listening to this right now, I am kind of implore you to really kind of consider that, look at the town charter, and consider making the school committee go from a 7-member board to nine, And for the voters and the listeners that are out there hearing about this right now, if that's something that you agree with, talk to these candidates, talk to everybody else, and especially after election day and the seats are, the dust is settled, the seats are known, continue to have those conversations. I think it would benefit the town so greatly to be able to have nine individuals serving and advocating for the betterment of the school district and the greater Franklin community on the school committee.
I buy into that concept, absolutely. Yeah. Indeed. Well, thank you for taking time. And thank you, listeners, for participating. There's more to come with more candidates, more interviews. We'll include Dave's contact info, so if you don't already have it, it'll be available via the video and the show notes to go accordingly. And feel free to reach out if, check on some other question or another idea. He's always open, as you said, to furthering the conversation for our benefit of and the kids' benefit, because that's our future.
Absolutely. Steve, I thank you very much for this opportunity and for the everybody listening and watching at home. Yeah, truly, I thank you just for taking an interest in this race and all the other candidates' races. This matters so greatly. And yes, as Steve mentioned, I know most of Franklin at this point now has my phone number, but if you don't, take a look, give me a holler, or you could always find me, especially right now in the fall. I'm always going to be at the turf field over on Beaver Street with my little guy playing flag football.
Indeed. All right. Well, thank you again. And to listeners, thank you. And a quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors, good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.